Yeah, good morning. Call the Senate Finance meeting to order this morning. We start us all cell phones. The time is 9:10 a.m. on Wednesday, April 19, 2023. Today I'm joined by Senator Co-Chair Hoffman, Co-Chair Stedman, Senator Bishop, Senator Keel, and Senator Merrick. Senator Wilson is online. So with that, we have two bills we're going to be hearing. First up is going to be Senate Bill 22 by Senator L.V. Greer Jackson. Next is Senate Bill 57 by the governor. Juneteenth bill, Senate Bill 22 is the bill that was previously heard on April 4th. We took public testimony. Today we have Senator Greer Jackson and her aide, Bessie Odom, that will be here for comments and questions. Originally we had an issue with the fiscal note, which is indeterminate. My office asked for a better estimate on the actual overtime cost for it, and we have 8 fiscal notes related to that. We'll call up later on, we'll call up Rob Carpenter and Vanessa Valerie Rose from Legislative Finance to go ahead and talk about these group of fiscal notes. In the meantime, Senator Jackson, Greer Jackson, can you go ahead and give us an update or a encapsulation of the bill again?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and committee members. I really appreciate being here again. And I'm going to read the same statement that I read during the last meeting, if that's okay.
Please identify yourself for the record.
Thank you. Senator L.V. Greer Jackson. I'm here with my staff, Bessie Odom. America takes pride in itself of being the land of the free. But it wasn't until 1865 when the statement became a reality. The Declaration states that all men are created equal and endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. But before 1865, there was a facet of Americans still living under bondage, unable to live life as the Declaration of Independence had promised. Before 1865, Black Americans were denied their rights because they were seen as property versus human beings. In 1863, President Lincoln issued the Emancipation Proclamation that freed enslaved people in Texas and all rebellious parts of Southern secessionist states of the Confederacy. However, it was only through the 13th Amendment that emancipation officially ended slavery throughout America. 2 years later, Union troops arrived in Galveston, Texas to announce that enslaved people were free by executive decree. This marked the end of 200 plus years of the enslavement of Black Americans. In 2001, Representative McGuire introduced House Bill 100, which established the third Saturday of each June as Juneteenth to commemorate the abolition of slavery throughout the United States and its territories in 1865. The bill was signed into law on April 10, 2001, and it was co-sponsored by Representative Hayes, Halcrow, Murkowski, Meyer, Dyson, James, Sisson, and Croft. The bill was cross-sponsored by Senators Davis, Ellis, Othen, Lehman, Lincoln, Elton, and Ward. And I want to thank the past bipartisan members for their efforts in at least recognizing and upholding the liberations of our community. Juneteenth is oftentimes seen as a Black American holiday, a closed celebration for Black folk only. This is simply not the truth. Anchorage hosts the largest Juneteenth festival in the state, an event that openly embraces everyone who attends, regardless of their color or ethnicity. In addition to community members attending, many elected officials have attended and spoken support of the holiday. The community celebration includes dignitaries, the mayor, the governor, local, state, and federal legislators. And I look forward to this event every single year, as does the senator from District N. Additionally, there are other countries beside the U.S. that celebrate Juneteenth, including South Korea and Israel. And as you can see, celebrating liberation reaches far beyond color and ethnicity. Senate Bill 22 will create awareness and appreciation for American history. And my only hope is that we will continue to have the sometimes difficult conversations about what it means to truly be free. In this process, I want to encourage our community that I love, that I've been here for 41 years, to keep the festivities alive and to continue to secure freedom for generations to come. And as I mentioned last time, as a side note, yes, Juneteenth is also my anniversary of living in this beautiful state, and this Juneteenth will be 41 years. I love Alaska. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator Bree Jackson. Bessie Odom, her trustee, do you have any comments on the bill? We haven't burned this. You've been the one carrying it and working on it so hard. Why don't you go ahead and give us your take on it?
For the record, this is Bessie Odom, staff to Senator Gray Jackson. Thanks for having us this morning and hearing this bill yet again. I do not have any further comments, but again, thank you for your time this morning.
Okay, and thank you very much for bringing it forward and being with your boss there. If not, we'd like to go on to the fiscal notes. We've got Rob Carpenter and Valerie Rose here. Would you kind of come on up and speak to the eight fiscal notes that we have in front of us? Please identify yourself for the record and go ahead and enlighten us on the eight fiscal notes that are there.
Good morning. For the record, my name is Valerie Rose, Legislative Fiscal Analyst. Today I have fiscal notes. There are eight fiscal notes for SB 22. I will begin with the Department of Administration's fiscal note. This was a fiscal note that was previously provided by the Department of Administration before the Senate Finance Committee made the request for individual fiscal notes from agencies to provide the time and a half estimate for those staff who would be working in 24/7 facilities and be paid time and a half on a paid holiday. So this fiscal note is indeterminate and does not really provide any of that financial information. And so if it's the will of the committee, I would like to move past it.
Okay.
The second fiscal note is also from before the committee made the request for the individual fiscal notes from agencies. And this one is the various fiscal note from the Office of the Governor that provided an overall picture of the process of how the state holiday would be determined as a paid holiday. This fiscal note is also indeterminate, but they did provide a picture of sort of the one-day cost approximately right now for personnel within the state of Alaska. But that was for all personnel, and it did not describe just the amount for individuals who would be working time and a half in those 24/7 facilities. So if it's all right with the committee, I'd like to move past that fiscal note as well.
Okay.
Let's see here. One of the new fiscal notes, I will begin with the Department of Public Safety. This fiscal note is for $373,600 for the Department of Public Safety. This fiscal note describes the personal services required for a number of different outposts and facilities, including the Alaska State Troopers, the Council on Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault, statewide support, fire and life safety, the Village Public Safety Officer Program, and the Alaska Police Standards Council. All are allocations within the Department of Public Safety that are affected by the time and a half that would be a paid benefit to employees working in those allocations. Are there any questions on this fiscal note?
Not so far, but we'll have questions right at the end, I'm sure.
Moving on to the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities fiscal note. This fiscal note is in the amount of $125,900. Again, this fiscal note describes the personal services that would be required to pay individuals time and a half for working on this paid holiday in 24/7 facilities. Department of Transportation fiscal note describes Anchorage Airport operations, their airport facilities, field and equipment maintenance, and safety, as well as the Fairbanks Airport Operations Facilities, Field and Equipment Maintenance, as well as airport safety. It also includes some highway and aviation allocations that would also require additional staffing for time and a half purposes. Seeing no questions on the transportation fiscal note, I will move to the Department of Health. This fiscal note estimates an additional cost of only $2,000. This would be for staff in the state medical examiner's office. And again, it's a very minor fiscal note, but at the request of the committee, the department did provide their estimate. Moving on to the Department of Fish and Game, this fiscal note is for $54,200. Again, describing the time and a half costs, the Department of Fish and Game has outlined the Division of Commercial Fisheries, the Division of Sport Fish, the Division of Wildlife Conservation, and their subsistence section as the allocations that would be impacted and required to pay time and a half for certain individuals. Moving on to the Department of Family and Community Services, this fiscal note is for $102,000 and estimates that the impacts to the allocations within the Department of Family and Community Services would be in the Alaska Psychiatric Institute, the Division of Juvenile Justice Facilities, and the Alaska Pioneer Homes. And all of those individuals would be paid time and a half for all hours worked on the holiday. Moving on, the Department of Education and Early Development fiscal note. This fiscal note includes personal services as well as services because there are security, contracted security individuals working in the facility that would also need to be paid at an additional rate if the bill were to take effect. And so they have included those costs in the services line because they are contractors. But this total fiscal note is for $4,600 and is specific to the Alaska State Museum as well as the Sheldon Jackson Museum. Moving on to our final fiscal note, this is for the Department of Corrections. This fiscal note is for $525,600. The Department of Corrections obviously has quite a few 24-hour facilities and employs Class 1 employees, which are employees whose services may not be given up for any period of time, even the shortest period of time. And so this fiscal note does describe that this would provide for the time and a half as required for quite a number of correctional officers and other persons working in the correctional facilities. I would like to note for the committee that while not all of the fiscal notes describe in their analysis the methodology, the Office of Management and Budget did share with the Legislative Finance Division that their requested methodology for agencies to create these fiscal notes was to take the average of three recent holidays over the course of this fiscal year. That includes July 4, Alaska Day in October, and then Martin Luther King Jr. Day recently in January.
Okay. Are you familiar with the OMB component numbers?
Yes, I can refer to them on the fiscal notes.
Would you please read them for us?
Sure. For the Department of Administration, OMB component number 56, we have the fiscal note, which is for various from the executive branch. There is no OMB component number associated with that. The Department of Public Safety, they align it with the Alaska State Trooper Appropriation, OMB component number 2325. The fiscal note for the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities is tied to the Administration and Support Appropriation, OMB component number 530. The Department of Health, their fiscal note is for OMB component number 293. The Department of Fish and Game fiscal note is for OMB component number 479. The Department of Family and Community Services fiscal note is for OMB component number 3305. The fiscal note for the Department of Education and Early Development is for OMB component number 210. And finally, the Department of Corrections fiscal note is for OMB component number 694.
Thank you very much for doing that, Ms. Rose. Mr. Carpenter, do you have anything to add to the fiscal notes that's there? If not, we'll go ahead and continue on. Thank you very much. During the process, we've extended the privilege of having amendments put up. One was received. So, Senator Wilson, would you like to move amendment number one?
Yes, Mr. Chair. Before I move amendment number one, I do have a question about the fiscal notes.
Go ahead and ask your question.
The previous note had about a $4 million price tag to it, and administration said that was the cost of a holiday. Now, are we assuming that these notes are just the additional cost of the time and a half, but would the delta, about $3 million, be the actual cost of lost productivity time that the state would incur? Is there a number on that?
Mr. Rose, you want to go ahead and do you understand the question, and can you go ahead and comment on the question?
For the record, once again, Valerie Rose, legislative fiscal analyst. Through the chair, Senator Wilson, these new fiscal notes were at the request of the Senate Finance Committee to better provide a picture of the actual cost. The fiscal note that you referenced for the from the various executive branch agencies, which does not have an OMB component number, that fiscal note was initially provided to give the Senate Finance Committee an estimate of a single day cost for personnel. I think that that might have been done. I cannot speak for OMB or for the administration, but I think that may have been done to provide an overall cost picture of what one day's worth of personnel costs are right now, but they did not align specifically to the bill, as the bill does not specify that this would be a paid holiday. There is a process through which unions can negotiate with the state to create a holiday that is defined as a state holiday as a paid holiday. So these notes were provided to give the Senate Finance Committee an estimate of what the financial impact would be should those negotiations result in a paid holiday for state employees. When we discussed the concerns of the Finance Committee about that $4 million figure as being not really representative of the true cost, that is when the administration did provide these fiscal notes that are more representative of the individual cost to agencies for those actual time and a half employees. So the indeterminate note from the various executive branch OMB component number zero, I would consider to be no longer legitimate or necessary.
First two.
Yes.
Senator Wilson, you have a follow-up?
No, Mr. Chair. Thank you so much. And with that, I would like to move amendment number one for version A2.
Any objection to moving amendment number one?
Object.
Okay. So I speak to your objection, Senator Wilson. Senator Bishop?
I'll let Senator Keel if you want to.
Senator Keel.
Mr. Chairman,
brief at ease. call the Senate Finance Committee meeting back to order. Senator Wilson, would you go ahead and explain what Amendment Number 1 does so we're familiar with it? We have a copy of it here, but having you explain it would certainly enlighten us. Please.
Yes, Mr. Chair. The best way to explain this is actually on page 1 of the amendment, line 3, and this would be inserting a floating holiday for state employees instead of just having a Juneteenth holiday. Mr. Chair, we've seen the same situation happen with license plates, with bridges, with naming of various myriad of things. This way, everyone has the right to take off a holiday they see to their choosing, whether it be Juneteenth, Columbus Day, Indigenous Peoples Day, Paratovich Day, Cesar Chavez Day, and this would just replace that with a floating holiday so that anyone could take off that day for you know, the purposes that they would like to see fit. We're just trying to sort of nip this that could happen as a potential issue of continuing to create holidays after holidays without trying to being cognizant of where our physical situation is in the state of Alaska, just by having one floating holiday instead of creating what could be 4 or 5 additional floating holidays throughout this process of the legislature. And that's what basically this amendment does. It replaces the Juneteenth. It's already a holiday in statute, but it's not a paid holiday. This would just create a floating paid holiday that any state employee could take off as they see fit. And that's the amendment.
Any questions by members of the committee for Senator Wilson? Not Senator Grigiaxson, you want to go ahead and comment on the – I'm sorry, do you have a question, Senator Mayor?
A comment.
Oh, go ahead.
Thank you, Chair Olson. I'm going to be supporting this amendment because in Alaska we have a very short construction season, and this amendment would allow workers such as DOT workers to continue working during the summer and then celebrate Juneteenth later in the year. Thank you.
Any other questions by members of the committee for Senator Wilson? If not, Senator Grigiaxson, you want to go ahead and comment on the amendment?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and committee members. This is Senator Elvie Gray Jackson. Senator Wilson, I want to thank you for your comments at the previous hearing and also for your amendment that you're bringing forward. But I have to tell you, your comments at the last meeting were offensive, and this amendment is even more offensive. And for you to compare, you know, the floating holiday issue to license plates and bridges makes it even more offensive to the point where I really want to cry. But I'm holding myself back. You know, it's not about another holiday or day off. It's about celebrating the freedom of Black folks, Senator Wilson. That's what it's about. And yes, Juneteenth is already, as I mentioned in my previous notes, recognized in state statutes. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My staff, Bessie Odoms, has some comments that she would like to make, if that's okay.
Ms. Odom, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
For the record, Bessie Odom, staff to Senator Gray Jackson. In regards to this amendment, our bill is very much deliberate, and that its intention is to celebrate the liberation and the end of a 4-century-long chapter of American history. The amendment not only diminishes and minimizes our intent, but it diminishes and minimizes a very important part of our history. For peoples who gave so much to this country, blood, sweat, and tears, we should honor their contributions by naming them. Juneteenth is one of the various ways that we can do this. And with that being said, we are not in support of this amendment at this time.
Okay. Senator O'Keefe.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm going to be a no vote on the amendment. A couple of reasons. I support the underlying bills, the main one. The other reasons, though, one is this, I guess, a potential to raise the cost. A floating holiday will be cashable leave. And so instead of just looking at the time and a half for those 24-hour institutions, I think that leave then has a potential to be checks written by the state treasury. and so that brings the price tag up. But the other thing is just sort of on process. I think the amendment makes it an entirely different bill. And the answer there is to, if you want that, you vote no and you introduce your own bill. And so that's just not my approach. So I'll be a no.
Okay. Any further questions or comments by members of the committee on the amendment? Is the objection still maintained?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, can I?
Senator Wilson, please.
Yes, I just want to give a quick wrap up. I mean, my intent is not to try to, we're just trying to find a way to celebrate Juneteenth that everyone can choose when. We're not trying to take away. I'm not trying to take away the celebration of Juneteenth. I'm just trying to have more opportunity for folks to celebrate the holiday of their choice. I mean, making Juneteenth a paid holiday isn't going to stop, the neighbor down the street from being racist. I mean, it's not. We're not going to take away the cruelty. We're not doing anything as a state to put money toward the celebration of this holiday to educate folks of why this is an important holiday for folks of the African-American culture. That's not going to happen with this piece of legislation. So I'm just saying, instead of vilifying, folks in this country with a history of slavery, which is not unique in any way, we must take the time to remember those men and women who made the ultimate sacrifice of freedom for this countrymen, which is unique. And we want to bring those healing to those races. We should celebrate any holiday that we feel that we need to celebrate and allow everyone to celebrate those holidays and allow that equal opportunity for every culture to celebrate that day. So thus, I'm not trying to limit this to Juneteenth. I want to expand this to allow everybody to celebrate any holiday, any floating holiday, cultural belief, or hell, I just don't want to go to work day. That's the purpose of this amendment. It's not trying to be offensive. It's trying to be more inclusive to everybody. And that's the intent of this. I mean, we're not going to, we're all one nation. We all celebrate Independence Day, which is part of our, history in this whole situation. And, the making Juneteenth a focal point of those freedoms distract our true history and further divides, I feel, Mr. Chair. And that with that, I guess we're at the roll call vote time.
Senator Wilson, thank you very much for your comment. If the objection is still maintained, any further comment? Senator Bishop?
No, I maintain my objection.
Okay. Secretary, please call the roll.
Senator Merrick?
Yes.
Senator Wilson?
Yes.
Senator Bishop?
No.
Senator Keel?
No.
No.
Senator Hoffman?
No.
No.
With that, with the roll call vote, the objection, the amendment fails. Any further discussion or motions on this bill? If not, Senator Keel. I'm sorry, Senator Stedman.
You're asking for a motion. Mr. Chairman, I'd like to just have the committee reminded what the total of all these fiscal notes are before we vote.
Sure. Ms. Rose, would you come on up and give us the total of the eight fiscal notes that are there?
Good morning. Once again, for the record, Valerie Rose, Legislative Fiscal Analyst. The approximate total for the eight fiscal notes is $1.187 million. Not all of that is UGF, but I would have to get back to the committee with the breakout of fund sources, but I could do that shortly after this hearing.
Do you have a rough estimate of what the breakout might be?
I do not. I apologize, Senator.
call the Senate Finance Committee back to order. Any further questions or comments by members of the committee?
Question.
Yeah, Mr. Chair. This is Senator Wilson.
Senator Wilson, please.
Thank you. You know, Mr. Chair, as an African American, I just, I think for my entire life, this has been a situation that I've talked with the sponsor of, and this is a bill that I do not support. I support Juneteenth and celebrating, but I don't support it, making it, trying to make it more commercialized. And I feel that doing so was only going to propagate this situation even more in our American culture. You know, I'm tired of seeing the Juneteenth malt liquor sales, Juneteenth fried chicken sales, Juneteenth watermelon salad sales. And my culture is not a fad to be worn by people when they choose to wear it and when they choose not to wear it. And having the state of Alaska participate in it is more offensive to me than anything else. And that's why I oppose this bill. And I know I can't vote on that. And I'll wait for that opportunity to happen on the Senate floor. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Senator Wilson. Senator Stedman. At ease. Call the Senate Finance Committee back to order. Senator Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move the Senate Finance Committee report out Senate Bill number 22, Work Order 33LS0229/A, as in Anchorage, from committee with individual recommendations and accompanying fiscal notes.
Okay. We have a motion on the table to go ahead and move the bill out. Do you have any objections? If not, we'll move from committee. call the Senate Finance Committee back to order. Next bill up is Senate Bill 57, the Adult Hope Care Health Medical Aid bill by the governor. We first heard it on March 28th. We took public testimony back then. In the room we have Tony Newman from the Director of Senior and Disability Services, Department of Health. Mr. Newman, would you kind of come up and remind us what the bill does? Please identify yourself for the record and go ahead with your presentation.
Thank you, Chair Olson. My name is Tony Newman. I'm the Director of the Division of Senior and Disability Services at the Alaska Department of Health. Thank you for bringing Senate Bill 57 back before you this morning. Senate Bill 57 provides elderly Alaskans and adults with disabilities who are enrolled in a Medicaid home and community-based waiver services with a new living option, adult home care. And as we discussed, the bill establishes a new licensed residential setting type and a new certified service to be overseen by the Department of Health. Under SB 57, the department will develop a streamlined process for foster parents who have cared for foster children with disabilities to transfer their existing foster home license to the new adult home care license. And the bill will provide an incentive for foster families to remain together as disabled children age out of the foster care system. We think this bill will address the shortage of services and settings for seniors and individuals who require help with the activities of daily living and other assistance so that they can live more independently. And we, last time we were before you, we reviewed the fiscal notes, I believe, and heard public testimony, and just wanted to thank you again for hearing this bill.
Mr. Newman, I guess one of the questions I have is, is there opposition to the bill?
Chair Olson, none that I'm aware of.
Any other members of the committee have questions on the bill? If not, we'll open it up for amendments. We have one amendment in front of us. Senator Keough.
Thank you, Ms. Chair. I move amendment number one.
Any objection to moving amendment number one? And please, I'll object to go ahead and explain what it does to the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's a very minor tweak. The language in the bill about these homes not being a business site is a little too tight, too prescriptive. I've talked with the department. Their plan is to put in regulations the requirements they're trying to get at. But running a home like this and getting paid may trigger a municipal business license. Someone may have a separate home-based business. We don't want to put in statute something that's so inflexible they can't take care of it. The bill itself maintains the rules for these being small, two kids or two people served, three with exceptions. So we're not blowing it wide open here. This just takes out a little overly prescriptive language. The department has the power and regulation to do what they need to do and be fine-grained.
Senator Keough, thank you very much for explaining that. Sir, Mr. Newman, do you want to go ahead and comment on the amendment and what it'll do, to whether you're in favor or not in favor?
Chair Olson, the Division of Senior Disability Services has no objection to the amendment. I'd invite you to ask Robert Nave, who's online from the Residential Licensing Section, if he'd like to comment too.
Mr. Nave, are you on, sir?
Yes, for the record, Robert Nave, Program Manager for the Division of Healthcare Services, through the chair. Senator Keel, no, Division of Healthcare Services has no concerns regarding this amendment either.
Okay. With that, I'll go ahead and remove my objection. Any other objection to move for this amendment? There's no other objection to the amendment. The amendment is adopted. With that, Senator Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move the Finance Committee report Senate Bill 57, Work Order 33 GS1708/A as in Anchorage from committee as amended with accompanying fiscal notes.
Without objection, the bill moves from committee. This concludes this morning's agenda. Our next meeting will be this afternoon, Wednesday, April 19th at 1:30 p.m. We'll be hearing House Bill 39 and 41 and the operating and mental health budgets, with the introduction of the first Senate committee substitute to those budgets. After the first hearing on one bill, Senate Bill 53, after that, the first hearing on Senate Bill 53 by Senator Klayman, a five-year involuntary commitment will be heard. There's no other business to be coming before the committee. We're adjourned at 9:55 p.m. a.m.